David Abramson, psychologist in a private practice, a very good morning to you. What does it say about a person who is so angry and resistant to a concept of the tooth fairy?
Good morning, Howard.
And I obviously refer to the nutty. I don't want to point fingers.
I feel like you brought him in here for me.
We're talking about the fact that so many children today were driving to school, woke up this morning, very innocently believing in the tooth fairy, and you've shattered...
Why?
You've shattered their dreams.
I said I'm very clearly a representative of the tooth fairy. I've negotiated on people's behalf.
Zanati, I quite clearly heard that you said that children actually just want the money and they actually don't believe that there's actually a tooth fairy.
I might have said that as well.
My son turned to me this morning on the way to school and went, I knew that all the time.
Oh no, I feel terrible.
You're all living this lie, guys, and it's like, oh my goodness.
It's not, but Zanati, look, that little girl, that Yardena, who I represent in negotiations with the Tooth Fairy, why is that a lie? She's learning very, very important business skills.
Wow. is this what you're calling it?
Yeah. This is what I'm calling it. Yes. It starts at a very young age. If your kids are not going to be able to negotiate with the tooth fairy, then how are they going to negotiate with anybody later on in life?
Oh my goodness.
That's where it all starts.
Wow.
And how is teaching this little girl about like intermediaries?
Exactly. Proxy votes.
Right.
Authorizations. Yes.
I'm just glad my mother didn't lie to me.
I think you don't sound glad. I'm just saying, David.
I'm not
the psychologist in the room, but certainly she is. Doesn't sound glad.
I think she wanted her mom to lie to her.
I think so. Shame's enough.
And a couple of notes under the bed wouldn't have hurt.
I will never lie to my children.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Says everyone who's never been a parent. and David Zanati thinks I did tremendous harm by telling my children that unfortunately Barney had died.
But
I thought that was a nice way for them to deal with loss.
It just all depends at what stage. I mean, if it was last week, which is fine, because I know some of them are married. But
One is married.
Right. But if it was a little bit earlier than that,
they were all under 10. When Barney, unfortunately, I couldn't listen to it anymore. I love you. You love me. I can't anymore. I couldn't anymore. So we called them in and we said, look, unfortunately, we do have some terrible news. And, unfortunately, you know, Barney was obese.
You clearly weren't a happy family.
So there were health issues. and Barney suffered.
The dinosaur became extinct.
He went to that big theme park in the sky. And then we didn't need to listen to "I love you, you love me" anymore. And clean up, everybody, everywhere. A dinosaur with no sense of humor. Nothing. Barney is the most humorless, boring dinosaur that's ever been put on God's purple earth.
Howard, this explains so much.
Thank you.
I think we both have issues here.
Yeah, I was. Dinosaur issues and fairy tooth issues.
Well, not dinosaur issues, it's Barney issues. He's just so nice. Maybe this is my reaction. Maybe this is why I don't like to be so nice.
Did you grow up knowing anyone called Barney?
No.
Can you see where we're going here?
I see where you're going, David. I really do see. One doesn't need to be a psychologist to see where you're going with this Freud.
Yes.
But, but no, anyway, I just
you
think...
You have bad associations with the color purple.
So let me ask you this. Is it appropriate and okay to lie to our children?
Wow, we weren't going to talk about this.
No, we're not talking
morning.
About this. I'm just asking a question.
You know, I think for me, this is a very controversial one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in arm's length of Zanati. So, I think at certain times it warrants some kind of, maybe we can call it manipulation of the truth. And I'm going to think of, maybe we're not talking about the tooth fairy, but I'm thinking of situations where children are anxious, you know, and we tell our children, and children are worried about being attacked at home, and they're worried about being hijacked. And in those situations, I do think when children are very young,
so they're about to lose a tooth. They're not feeling great about, you know, they're feeling nervous. So you say, you know, if that tooth comes out, we're going to, the tooth fairy's going to visit you.
Come on, another one's coming out.
Okay, so nice tea.
David, do you have time maybe sometime in your room?
We'll chat after.
Right.
Interesting that we were supposed to talk about forgiveness, because one of them is letting go of the anger, and I think Sonati's well on her way to let go of the anger.
Right. So the reason I wanted to talk about it, and we do unfortunately need to go in just a moment to traffic and to the shops, but one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, I came into studio earlier this week when Angelo Agresi was chatting to Chad Thomas, and I found myself very, very conflicted about my feelings towards him. He was a guy who was involved in the most incredibly damaging corruption to our country, and for years he was involved in a company that was stealing from all of us. And then he decides to come clean. He comes forward for whatever reason. Maybe his motivation is self-preservation. Maybe it is true remorse. We don't really know, and I'm not sure we can really look into somebody's heart and really have an absolute answer to that. And he comes clean, and he exposes the corruption, and he does something that is good for all of us. But he still did those things, and he was still part of that. And I don't know how to deal with that. How do we forgive him? How do we let go of some of that anger and the knowledge that he did that in his past? Time is 8:17, and Helene says, Boker Tov all, Howard, I believe that a person's conscience at times kicks in. So the fact that he did, don't judge. Dirty hands for some can be washed clean. He did not get paid for exposing. And yes, I know typing in capitals just easier for me. That's Helene. I really have no problem with that. Send a message no matter how you type it. That's not the issue. So you're saying your view, Helene, is that he didn't get paid for coming clean. Look, there still might have been a self-preservation motive to it, but does that matter? You know, how do we treat it? How do we view somebody reforming?
I think it's important to say that forgiveness is very personal. This is a personal event, and it's an individual event or experience. And it's not something that can be forced. And I think everyone, you know, when it comes to forgiveness, it's, as I say, a very personal process. So maybe someone is not ready to be ready to forgive. Someone's not ready to get to that place where they really feel that this is what they genuinely want to do. And I think that's important, because it's really about a personal, maybe it's harsh to say selfish experience, but it is about, it's not about the other person. It's not about the other person forgiving you. It's not about the other person being ready to talk about things and to admit that they've done something wrong. Forgiveness is very much about.
And here we're not in a relationship with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not like it's a spouse or a friend or a family member or a parent, etc. We have no relationship. So, but you know, our expectation is that people aren't going to behave criminally.
Absolutely. But again, I think it's important to say that forgiveness, I think it's important to look at what forgiveness really is.
Okay.
Because I think there's often confusion around it. And I think that, as I said, the first point is that it's not about asking this person to say sorry. It's not about asking this person to admit that they've done something wrong. If they do, that's their personal journey. Mm. This is really about your journey. So I think that's very, very important. The second thing is,
you're saying to distinguish ourselves from the person.
Right.
In other words, his journey is his.
Right.
Ours is ours. How we respond to it is about us.
Because a perpetrator or someone who's done something criminal might never get to a point where they apologize. They might never feel remorseful. And then we lose complete control of our emotions. We lose control.
And even if they do apologize, we might not find it sincere enough. Or they might not say the right things.
Absolutely. So I think that's point one, is that it's a personal journey, and it doesn't rely, and it shouldn't or can't really rely on other people's response, certainly the perpetrator's response or the person who's done the wrong thing. And it also doesn't mean that you have to forget. I think that's also something that, you know, people often feel like, you know, if you've forgiven, you've forgotten. And I think that's incorrect, that you can forgive, but you can always remember. And it doesn't also mean that if you are going to start to forgive or be in the process of forgiving someone, that you minimize your experience. It doesn't mean that it makes it right or it makes it easier or it makes it better. It just means that, you know, that you're in this process of understanding that you, the hope of changing the past will not, you know, will not occur. So you're looking at me very...
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, I'm just trying to yeah, work it through yeah, on a practical level.
And for me, the other thing is that some people would perceive forgiveness as being weak. You know, the idea of like, I forgive you and no matter what you've done to me, it's fine. But actually it's the opposite. It's a very, very powerful, strong thing to do, to forgive someone. And again, very importantly, as we said, that first point, and I'm going to reiterate it, it doesn't depend on the other person apologizing, or accepting your forgiveness. That's so, so important because this is your own journey. This is your own journey to.
But taking that a bit further then it becomes almost irrelevant whether a person's apologized or not.
Well, again, you know.
Or maybe it helps you if they have genuine remorse to be able to forgive them. So maybe it's relevant from that perspective.
Absolutely. And if that happens, that might help you to forgive. Mm. But if it's going to be a prerequisite to help you get to that point, because forgiveness actually is, it's, and they've shown this over and over again, mm-hmm. that it's actually good for the person who's letting go. Because of that anger has terrible effects, terribly negative effects on one's physical, and emotional well-being. So it actually is really about a selfish, if you want to call it, it should be
yes,
a selfish
because
process.
Right.
It's
because,
not about
because
others.
It's good for us. We feel better
right.
once we've forgiven. It is 8:30. Let's go to news headlines. We'll be back with David Abramson straight after this.
In your headlines, at least 25 people killed in Cairo train crash. A train collided with a buffer stop and burst into flames. Donald Trump meets Kim Jong-un. They are engaging in talks on denuclearization. Government announces intention to ban plastic. MPs have been assured that jobs won't be affected. And Kryptonian makes hats for cancer warriors. L'Oréal is gifting cancer patients around the country with beautiful hats. Catch the full bulletin at 9.
Thanks, Sonati. Just after 8:30, I'm chatting to David Abramson. I'd love your involvement in this conversation, 34519 or 0618951019. We're talking about the concept of forgiveness. And this, for me, was sparked by an interview that Chad Thomas had earlier in the week with Angelo Grisi, and he was there's good and there's bad in all of this, and the good is that he came forward and he has exposed corruption and he's actually done us all a tremendous favor, in inverted commas. The bad of it is, of course, that he was involved in corruption for years. When asked why it took him so long, his answer was, it's almost like being in an abused relationship. It can take somebody a long time to leave it. Whether I am convinced by that or not is something completely different.
I think forgiveness is a very personal process. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of pressure that people feel from society in general to forgive. You've got to forgive. It's the thing to do. It's the healthy thing to do. But again, as you say, it's a very, very personal thing. Like, you know, your experience of his explanations might sound good. They might make sense, but you might not be ready to forgive. We are still going through and unveiling and revealing so much corruption that's happened in the country, which has had a devastating effect on South Africans. And absolutely, it's really about being ready to. And there cannot be a prescribed process that each person needs to follow. This is very, individual process. Mm. And again, it doesn't have to be a finite process. You either forgive or you don't. You know, it could be, I always like to talk out of 10. You know, at points, maybe you'll only get up to a 7 out of 10 forgiveness that you are feeling a little bit better about it and that you can let go of some of the anger. So again, very, very personal. But yes, we know it's good for you as a person from an emotional or physical point of view. But if you're going to say you forgive, if you don't, that can be very damaging, because
to the person not forgiving,
right, or to the person who's saying that I'm forgiving you, because you're walking around having announced that you actually have let go of all this anger, that you actually feel that.
Isn't that something that you deal with? And I mean, as a psychologist, you must deal with this all the time when people say, "Oh, no, I've let it go, and you know, I've completely forgiven them," and but in the meantime, they haven't really.
Yeah, and in a way, you're not giving yourself permission to be angry anymore. You know, you're not giving yourself permission to be real. And I think that's important. We mustn't feel the pressure to forgive, even if we know it will be good, as I say, for our health, emotionally, physically. It's an individual process, and we all need to go through the process ourselves.
Shulamit says, personally, I think he was scared to land up in jail. I'm with you, Howard. I listened to the interview. I'm not sure that he was genuinely sorry. Helene says, again, no one has to forgive or forget what he did. Bottom line is he opened a can of worms. So we need to appreciate that and move forward. All right. Time is 8:33. I want to bring Luba Mayakisa in to this conversation.